Thank you to Babbel for sponsoring this video.
Let's do it, Andrew. All righty, guys. Well, if you're listening to us on Apple and Spotify, please rate this video because we just watched Conan the Barbarian, our first time watching. I knew nothing about this film other than it put Arnold on the map before he did Terminator. And I got some thoughts about it. But Andy Gordon, I'm curious to hear yours first.
I enjoyed it. I mean, there was some 80s pizzazz and some cheese into it, but I really enjoyed the script that John Milius and Oliver Stone. I think they played a lot of Arnold's strengths. And again, we mentioned it a lot during the reaction. The scenes I most enjoyed with Arnold, besides like showing his physicality and the masculinity, of course, and the time of the 80s and all that, were the scenes where he didn't have a lot of dialogue and he was actually showing some of his acting chops. I know that's something that a lot of people make fun of, but I actually thought he was like doing a pretty good job in this film. Like, I actually felt the pain and intensity that he went through. I mean, it was actually an interesting journey with his character when you really think about it. I mean, he lost his parents in such a brutal way, and then he's a slave his whole life. He's the only one that had the determination to outlast all the other slaves, you know, because he was seeking revenge, and then he falls in love. I like the hero's journey that we go on and the revenge journey as well. And again, I was very appreciative of Arnold's performance. Yeah, there were some lines and some dialogue where it's like, okay, it's Arnold being Arnold, and it was a very cheesy and some one-liners, but I still thought it was entertaining in terms of Arnold and his performance. There were definitely some weird lines and some ADR that was a little bit off, and some of the on some of the choreographed fight scenes where I was like, wait, what happened? I don't even know what I just saw. But overall, I was thoroughly entertained. I just loved how whimsical the film was. I loved the fantasy. I loved the supernatural element. While also it was extremely a very dark film. He had a film with child slavery and was extremely violent. And just, it was a product of its time. And I just thought, I just really thought that John Milius and Oliver Stone did a great job of just playing to Arnold's strengths. I mean, again, at this time, he wasn't the Arnold that we knew. And, you know, he was just, it was right before Terminator. And I believe Conan the Destroyer was a couple of years after this. So I think they did a great job of just catering to his strengths, not his weaknesses. And again, I can see why this led to bigger and better things for Arnold. But what did you think?
I'm going to tell you my rating. I give it like a 6.5 to 7 right now.
Okay.
6.5. I give it like a 6 for emotional investment. Mm. Maybe a 5 for emotional investment. 7 for appreciation. So I'm somewhere there. And let's figure out as we unpack this together, Andrew Gordon, where I'm at. Because, I like the barbaric pulp that this movie has. Like, it's maybe it takes itself a little too serious, if anything, because it takes itself very serious. Like, it's a very serious film.
Oh yeah.
And at times with this a certain whimsical sense, I appreciated the patience around it. I appreciated the lived in qualities of, like, it just felt very lived in. Like, you're just sort of, it's almost equivalent to just sort of placing a camera at a moment in a fake time period. You know what I mean? Of how they did it. Like, they don't explain a lot. And a lot of it is just about watching the mood and visual language. And then when there is dialogue, it's kind of corny and cheesy. But a lot of it isn't dialogue. A lot of it is just watching stuff. Like, there are times where rituals are happening and you don't really know what's going on. And then you kind of just have to sort of figure it out as you're going along with the journey. At times they are explaining it, but they don't really rely on exposition. I think whenever Arnold speaks, it was kind of funny because whenever he had scenes with another actor, obviously this is earlier Arnold stage, and a big right. part of acting is listening. And what I've, from my understanding, it's not just, you know, depending on how an actor delivers a line to your scene partner, you will deliver it a different way because of how you're responding by listening. And so to me, it was like, oh, this sounds like Arnold has rehearsed the lines and how he's going to say it. And I noticed that whenever Arnold was just kind of like lamenting to the gods or something like that, that was, he actually did a great job there. And sometimes it just sounded like a little bit corny enough when he was just talking about our characters. I appreciate that this was not some PG fantasy film that
for sure.
It actually, for sure. Like when there was blood, it was squibtastic, man. Squib everywhere. A lot of blood and gore. And that was surprising. And the practical effects were awesome. Like it surprised me with the fantastical side of things. Like James Earl Jones turning into a snake. I'm not sure what that equated to, but okay. I'll take it.
Yeah, that was interesting. Like, what was the purpose to show us that he can turn into a snake? I don't know what the purpose behind that.
I don't want to get involved in these deviant activities nor engage in the fight. Yes. I'm snaking my way out of here.
Just slither out of here. Yeah. But you talk about emotional investment, which I agree with you. There wasn't a ton in here for me. I did find myself emotionally invested, although she wasn't fully developed. I definitely feel like there could have been more development with, I believe it was Sandahl Bergman as the actress. Yeah. I did really like her character. I would have liked, again, a little more development, but I did appreciate, you know, especially in 1982, this is not a time of female empowerment, or not as much. I mean, you had Ellen Ripley at the time. Sarah Connor had not yet come on the scene for another 2 years. I thought she was an extremely empowering female character, and I loved watching her in action. She wasn't a damsel in distress, which is such a pet peeve of mine. She was a badass. I was actually
woke. This movie was woke for its time.
Yes, very, very woke. I was actually, I was really distressed and saddened when I didn't see that coming, and I was actually sad when she.
You were bawling.
I wouldn't go that far, but
Andrew,
if
you guys didn't watch the reaction, Andrew was crying.
I definitely felt a certain sadness, and I
paused the video to get his tissues.
We did, but no, I actually felt something there, and I really liked her character.
I was bummed.
Yeah, no, I mean, I would have, but like I said, if I had a nitpick with her character, I definitely would have liked a little more development. But I did actually rather enjoy. I mean, I agree with you. There were like, and I mentioned it too. There were definitely some lines of dialogue that, again, this is younger, earlier Arnold. I think he definitely improved as an actor as time went on. And again, just catering to more of his strengths as an actor. He knows the limitations of what he can and cannot do. But I actually rather enjoyed the chemistry between him and Sandahl Bergman. I thought they were fine together. I liked them, and I grew rather fond of their interactions, and I enjoyed.
I think there's a lot of technical scale stuff that I really appreciate about, like, aesthetically, seeing like this large production of extras.
This feels like
a harsh set to have been a part of, like as big of a budget as they seem to have gotten in terms of, you know, the sets that were built, the amount of locations and traveling.
For sure.
The costumes,
the costumes,
that was all excellent. It also still looked like a grueling experience, I'd imagine, for the actors.
Oh yeah,
and I love seeing that harshness on display and throughout the experience. And I liked her too. She's probably my favorite character. I thought James Earl Jones was actually very effective. Like when he's James Earl Jones, and we all know he's a great actor, and when he's as dialogue scenes, I'm like, hey, he's menacing, he's cunning, there is an allure. So I really enjoyed watching him.
And he's the best actor in the movie.
He's undoubtedly the best actor in the movie.
It's a given. Excuse me, Max von Sydow's
still getting his voice back after bawling his eyes out.
Exactly. Max von Sydow's only in one scene, but I mean, I thought his acting was, he was fine. He was a little over the top, but he was good too. But James Earl Jones, clearly the best actor. I mean, he's theatrically and classically trained, so you could tell.
I do think the movie, though, misses some marks. I do. I like it, even though it's easy to chalk it up and go, it's the 80s and whatever. I'm like, yeah, sure, whatever. I could say that. I still think on a storytelling level that it does miss some marks in terms of things that I do think could have probably been better developed, where I feel like even today movies might have missed it, you know? Mm-hmm. And I've seen some movies that come out in the 70s at this age, and I'm like, fucking amazing. You know, I don't go like downgrade because it's 70s or downgrade because 80s.
Course.
It's a revenge movie, essentially, right? It's a revenge movie. And I do think that the movie kind of like, as much as I like this sort of dreamlike quality this movie kind of inhabits, I do feel that as the journey is going, Conan is kind of, I don't really feel like we learn much about him via through his actions. And I get it's one, it's supposed to be one of those characters, though, where it's not really dialogue driven. It's more body language driven. And usually in these kind of films, you kind of learn a little bit more about his character via through his actions. And I don't really feel like we did. Hello there, esteemed viewer of The Real Rejects.
I, Greg Alba, language connoisseur and worldly gentleman,
am here to bestow upon you the secrets of Babbel.
Babbel is an engaging language learning app designed for real-life conversations, offering quick 10-minute lessons tailored by linguistic experts to effectively teach you a new language. Its conversation-based approach, enhanced with speech recognition technology, makes Babbel worth trying for anyone looking to learn at their own pace, anytime, anywhere.
My dear friends, in this age of monolingual mundanity. Babbel is our beacon of hope, crafted by an army of over 150 language experts.
Their lessons are like linguistic caviar, rich, refined, and oh so satisfying.
Personal tale of triumph. I once whispered sweet nothings in Spanish, or for the layman, Espanol, to my wife, courtesy of Babbel. Her reaction, well, I'll tell you, she was utterly bewitched.
Greg, you silver-tongued devil, no paraphrasing.
She exclaimed such vocabulary as I bask in the glory of my perfect pronunciation. Because Babbel isn't just about learning words.
It's about embracing the art of conversation with podcasts, live classes,
and a veritable smorgasbord of interactive lessons.
I know the words I'm saying.
And their speech recognition? It's like having a personal language butler, ensuring every syllable
is impeccably crisp.
Now brace yourselves for an offer of monumental proportions.
Here's a special limited time
deal for our viewers and listeners to get you started right now.
Get 55% off your Babbel subscription.
But again, only for our viewers
at babbel.com/rejects.
55% off at babbel.com/rejects.
Spelled BABBEL.com/rejects.
Rules and restrictions may apply.
Join me, the Greg Alba, the adventure of language mastery at Babbel. We shall not just learn no, nay.
We shall conquer the world of communication.
Or as they say in Spanish, comunicación.
We're done with this ad.
I totally agree with you. I think they had one scene where we started to, where the woman was brought to him. He kind of covered her up, where she felt like she didn't want to be there and have, you know, going to have intercourse and do other things with him. And he covered her up as like, that was a good moment. He's being a gentleman.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And such a intense atmosphere that she's in too. I think like this is a good character moment for him. I would have liked some more moments like that with his character, just developing him even more. But yeah, it's hard to argue with you there.
Because I love body language roles. I do. Yeah. I sometimes are my absolute favorite, and I do think that I didn't really feel like they had such a great setup, and I didn't really feel the catharsis of revenge, the conquest for revenge.
Yeah,
I think the movie loses its focus on that.
Yeah.
Because as much as I would rather have a patient, deliberately paced film, at times I am like, this is a little too seriously slow.
And there were times where like there were shots that were lingered that I love, and then there were other times where, and I love, sometimes I love slow paced films where it's building up to something, and I'm like, so appreciative.
Where you could like have the dread.
But then there were other times in this, and again, I still really enjoy this, but then there were other times I was like, all right, we need to get the pace up. Just a little bit.
But it's like I didn't really emit dread or tension. I wasn't really, and that's what I mean. Like I wasn't really hooked into the characters.
Yeah.
Nor did I feel like a sense of suspense or tension or stakes even. And it, like I thought like, oh, it's about to take a turn when Arnold was captured. He's getting his ass beat. He's crucified. I thought the movie was like, oh, okay. Even though it's an hour in, I'll take it. Like, yeah, I'm getting hooked. Like James Earl Jones is monologuing and it's great. And I love how James Earl Jones is even saying like, oh yeah, I used to be into steel. Not anymore. Oh, that's how your mom died? Okay. Like, does it care? Yeah. Like, I loved how dismissive he was of it. Like, I thought there I was going to have a turning point where I am really hooked. I really liked a moment where I was emotionally invested in an action scene was the break into Thulsa, the scene where Thulsa Doom is turning into a snake like they're sneaking around to try to kill. Like I thought that I was very hooked into that. So like in the last, I'd say I really enjoyed the last hour more than the first hour
for sure.
And even the finale, like when Arnold has that speech, I thought that was a really great speech. Like, to hell with you.
Yeah.
Excellent
no,
stuff.
No, that was good. Well, like I said, one of my main complaints was I feel like characters were not fully developed. I said that especially about the female character that I really enjoyed too. I still felt something there because I did enjoy the character, but I would have liked to have known more about her. Other than she had some great lines of dialogue. Like, I want to have my last breath be your, I forgot what it was, but something like that. It was a great line. I also, too, you know, you mentioned that monologue that James Earl Jones had with Arnold, which was great. I love, too, the way he was trying to manipulate him at the end there.
That's great.
That was, it's some great.
I thought he was the best part of this
movie. Yeah. No, the other female character, again, just would have liked a little more development. But, yeah, James Earl Jones, clearly the best actor in his character. I mean, he was menacing. He was threatening. I mean, obviously, you know that Arnold's going to defeat him in the end. But still, I always felt like there was, even though the characters could have been developed a little bit more, I always felt like there was tension and a threatening, you know, force there against Arnold with James Earl Jones.
When he was on screen, I would say.
Yeah.
Whenever he was on screen, but the overall presence of it. And the music, like you kept pointing it out, and the music. This movie relies a lot on its music.
Oh yeah,
and the music is one of the stars of this film.
For
like,
sure,
it really carries the experience a long way on this journey.
Well, it adds to the mood and the atmosphere for sure, and just enhances just what you're feeling and seeing at the same time. So, Basil Polidori's did one of my all-time favorite scores with RoboCop, and just hit another home run out of the park with this one.
Yeah. So overall, man, I mean, I'm kind of like
somewhere in the, I would say like 6.57, somewhere in there too with me.
I'm probably like a 6 to a 6.5 on this movie. Yeah. I'll admit, like, you know, it's Conan the Barbarian. I've heard Arnold talk about how impactful this role was for him. Everyone's heard Conan the Barbarian. Forever. I literally knew nothing about Conan the Barbarian. So I was just curious to go in blind in the experience. I didn't know if it was going to be like this cheesy, fast-paced 80s romp fest. This was actually not the experience I was expecting. And then when I was adjusting to the mood of it, I was like, oh, yeah, I that's kind of cool that I could take this movie seriously. And then I found myself kind of just like not really caring that much. And when that's happening, that is a big part of my viewing experience. Is like my entertainment level is going down, and I'm like really using my brain to stay focused because there's a camera pointed at me right now. And that's when I know that I'm having a bit of a hard time like connecting. And if I can't connect, I was like, I'm probably never going to watch this movie again. I mean, overall, like there's enough for me to,
appreciate
with my mind. And if there's not enough in the heart, though, it's just not for me. You know, at the end of the day, it's not. And
I feel you.
But Arnold is like, man, I love so many of his movies, though.
Yeah.
Jingle All the Way.
That's his best movie
end
ever.
End of Days.
Yeah.
Collateral Damage.
Like, you're naming all his best
movies. Those are the best movies. He's done Junior.
Oh, my God. Stop
He's made great movies, man.
Batman and Robin.
Killing Gunther.
Hercules in New York. Where he was named, by the way, his name in that was Arnold Strong, not Schwarzenegger.
Nah, it's too big of a name, man.
I'm curious. Let us know in the comments. Do you want to see Craig and I do Conan the Destroyer?
I don't want to do it.
No? By the way, that film, fun fact, because of that film, James Cameron had to delay shooting The Terminator. I believe it was 9 to 10 months.
What was the movie on Rotten Tomatoes? Let's look it up before we go. That'd be fun to see. What are you guessing?
I'm going to go with 50. Yeah, let's go 64%.
64. What do you think the audience score, though, is?
I'm going to go 88%.
All right. Time to find out.
Well, what's your guess? Don't go like that.
I'm going to say on the critic's score.
I said 64.
I feel like there'd be like nostalgia critics.
Yeah.
So I'm going to say 70.
Okay.
On the audience, I said
88.
I'm going to lean 85.
Okay. Let's see.
All right. That is the 2011
award. 82. You want 82. Yep.
Oh, 67. Damn. You were close as shit.
Damn. Well, you said 70. We were in the middle.
I know,
said 64.
I leaned in the 70 percentile. It's in the 60s for critics. And oh, then, and the audience score is not that high.
I said, what did I say? What did I say?
88. I said 85. Oh,
okay,
damn.
So you were close.
The audience score is not that high.
I thought it'd be higher.
I thought it'd be way higher. Yeah.
Because this movie is just so talked about and so beloved. So.
Oh, fascinating. That's funny. That's one of the things I said at the top. Conan may take itself too seriously for some. Yeah.
I'm sure
a
film about a former slave seeking vengeance is full of quotable Schwarzenegger lines and gritty acting.
Is it? He barely talks in the movie. Quotable Schwarzenegger lines. What are the quotable lines?
Disagree. Then to hell with you.
Other than that one line, what are the quotable Schwarzenegger lines in this movie?
I'd have to.
They're all sluts.
Yeah, they're all quotable.
That was a funny line.
Yeah, they're all quotable.
My mother. You killed my father. Let's see what Conan the Destroyer has.
Oh, God. It's probably going to be so low. I'm going to go with like 15%.
26. Yeah, that's really bad.
Because I've heard from my dad and other people say they hate that movie.
Can't be sequel. Damn, it's too bad.
Wilt Chamberlain?
Different director and everything.
Oh, did you see who else is in it?
So, yeah, this one is silly and fun. Who else is in it?
Scroll down. That's he's from Batman. Tracy Walter. That's Jack Nicholson's main henchman, Bob the Goon.
Nice. Let's see what the Jason Momoa one has.
I'm going to go 11%. I remember that got such bad ratings. Oh, 24.
Damn, it's kind of close to the district. This guy, Jason Momoa with no facial hair looks really funny.
Yeah.
Relentless gory violence.
So clearly the scores kept getting better.
Yeah, so the best one is definitely the first Arnold one. That's for sure.
Oh, Stephen Lang? Damn, I love him.
I mean, they say this one's really bloody. That kind of sounded fun.
Well, let us know in the comments, and Greg might consider which one.
I'll consider the Jason Momoa one any day. All righty, guys. Thank you so much.
Thanks, guys.
We'll see you all soon.